Well, they have a lot of kids that have just bought into the mindset over there. They've got a culture that year in and year out they're going to be a threat when it comes to the playoffs and even, you know, a state championship contender. They've got that just ingrained in their kids' minds from the time they're young. And by the time they all get to high school, you've got a lot of different 6 foot, 6 foot one, 180-pound kids that are ready to play, and they're just so athletic at every position.
Brock McMillan, head coach of the number two-ranked Rock Hills Grizzlies, eight-man Division II, will be at number one-ranked and defending champion Hanover. That's coming up tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. Rock Hills a chance to snap a Hanover long winning streak, but it won't be easy tonight. Rock Hills at Hanover. That is the feature game on Z96.3 The Lake. And Dusty's got, let's just go into this. This matchup tonight between number one and number two. We had number one versus number two last week, but our area team fell in that one. We're hoping Rock Hills changes things tonight. And Matt Hoyer tells us a little bit about that matchup they had a year ago and what they take away from it.
It's definitely going to be a challenge, and I think our kids are definitely up to that challenge. You know, I feel like, you know, our kids at some point didn't really feel like we probably performed at the capability that we probably should have, you know, in the first round of the playoffs last year, and that's not taking anything away from them because they hit us in the mouth. And, you know, at the same time, I think that our kids, you know, are kind of, you know, hungry or even just, you know, looking forward to a, you know, a tight-knit contest.
Rock Hills definitely has Hanover's attention, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
Your thoughts on the game tonight?
It definitely is a game where Hanover still, I think, has an advantage here with everybody that they've got back as far as skill-wise and seeing where they're at this year. Like you said, a long winning streak, 27 in a row. They're actually 51-2 since the start of 2014, and their only two losses were in eight-man Division I state championship games in 14 and 15. So they don't lose regular season games the last 4 years. And so we'll see if Rock Hills can come in here. They've got the talent athletically to compete, I think, with Hanover. It's going to be about execution and those kind of things in the game tonight. So I would give the edge to Hanover, but Rock Hills is a team that – neither one of these teams really have seen their biggest challenge yet this year. That's clear. I mean, obviously Rock Hills only played one game officially on the field, even though they're 2-0, but they had the forfeit in week one. But, you know, Lakeside is the only team they've seen so far this year. So they'll get tested quick. They'll see that first challenge here tonight. The good thing about it is it's a non-district game, so it doesn't mean a whole lot for either one of these teams as far as that's concerned moving forward. But looking forward to it tonight and seeing how Rock Hills can stack up with the Wildcats, a very, very talented team.
Absolutely. And then tonight we also, that'll be our game on Z96.3 The Lake. Also tonight, Sylvan Lucas at Lincoln. The Battle of Lincoln County is renewed tonight. That'll be on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Dustin Petit, the head coach of the Leopards in his first year, has done a nice job. Leopards out to a 2-0 start. Says that Sylvan Lucas is always a tough draw.
The Sylvan tradition of pounding the ball, running the I formation, and just playing with a whole lot of heart, that's going to come. That's what you have to expect every game from the Mustangs. They play well. They play hard. They might not have the best talent, but they're always going to give you fits because they just play their absolute best and trust each other to do so.
Ben Labrador, the head coach of Sylvan Lucas, keys on defense as Lincoln has scored a lot of points through the first two games.
The thing about what they do, it's you don't always want to put a bunch of pressure on them because they're kind of playing towards that. If you get upfield on them, they're going to make you pay. So as far as defensively, I think we can have the most success if we just, you know, read and do our jobs correctly. That'll lead to some success. But, you know, I think our D-line is going to have to be pretty important trying to keep that quarterback in front of us.
Sylvan Lucas at Lincoln now, KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Chad will have the call for us tonight down there. The rest of the action, Mr. Dinas.
Yeah, other games tonight back in the MPL in that district that Rock Hills is in. Obviously, get a non-district game for them tonight. But the rest of the teams are playing district games. St. John's Tipton hosting Tescott in Tipton tonight. Lakeside at Lynn and Pike Valley hosting Southern Cloud. So that's in 8-man Division 2 District 4 action. And then the immediate area, other games in 8-man, Osborne hosting Stockton in the non-district game tonight, and Thunder Ridge looking to move to 3-0 with a Good Hill City team coming in tonight to Kensington. So let's look at the NPL games in our immediate area here. Also at ncksports.com online video stream, Beloit at Minneapolis tonight in the North Central Activities Association. So that'll be going on here this evening, and that's online video at ncksports.com on the Beloit Trojan channel. And a matchup of Mid-Continent League powerhouses tonight in Smith Center, Phillipsburg at Smith Center, with that game here this evening. So interested to see how both of those last two games that we just talked about are going to turn out as well here tonight.
Absolutely. So go through our broadcast schedule.
Again, tonight on Katy Country 94.
Nope. Start with the Express.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, all right.
That's where I'm going.
Go
yeah.
back into the yeah. games. Like, let's
nope.
go through the whole thing, dude.
Yep. We'll start on Katy Country 94 at 540 with the Football Express presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable. And you can hear all the previews of all the matchups here this evening, beginning around 540 here this evening. And then we will go into our coverage on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 as well as katycountry94.com. Sylvan Lucas at Lincoln. You can chat with the call pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. And then on Z96.3, it is Rock Hill Hanover. And I'll be on the call on that one from Hanover. Then we'll conclude our game night coverage, as always, with the local high school football scoreboard show presented by State Farm Insurance in Beloit at 10:05, as we'll go over all the scores, analysis, and hopefully talk with some winning coaches as well here tonight on the local scoreboard show.
Sounds good. Any local sports from last night?
Yeah, we got some cross-country results to pass along. And if you missed any of this on our sportscast or what we're going to talk about, everything is posted online at ncksports.com from high school cross-country in our area yesterday. It was the St. John's won the boys' side of the Smith Center Invitational in cross-country yesterday. Team or individual champion, I should say, was Brandon Bates. He finished first with a time of 17:34. And Caleb Eilert of St. John's second. Cameron Delaney finished in third for Osborne in that event. And then on the girls' side, varsity champion was Jalen Weesey of Tipton, 23:28. She was a lone top five finisher from our area there yesterday. Also, J.C. Vath of Lincoln took first place at the Bennington Invitational yesterday, 19:25.42. In the girls' 5K, Aubrey Donnelly of Lincoln was second. And also in the Clay Center Invitational, that's where Beloit was competing, both teams finished in fourth place. Hannah Burks was second in the girls' varsity race. Haley Burks was fourth. Again, full results are at ncksports.com. Also there at ncksports.com, you can read about a local athlete that is signed to play volleyball at the next level, Thunder Ridge senior Elizabeth Hardacre, signing a letter of intent Thursday to compete in volleyball at Kansas Wesleyan University there in Salina. So Hardacre, one of the leaders for that Thunder Ridge team that's off to a 14-0 start here this season. Again, you can read more about that at ncksports.com.
All right, this weekend schedule for high school sports?
Yeah, volleyball, Republic County tournament, Beloit and Smith Center, as well as Pike Valley, will be competing there. Lincoln, Osborne, Southern Cloud, Sylvan Lucas are all at the Tescott tournament at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning as well. And the Beloit girls tennis team is at Clay Center at 9 tomorrow.
All right. Time to preview the football weekend. We've done it with high school football. Now we turn our attention to the college matchups. We'll begin with those red-hot Kansas Jayhawks. Jayhawks 1-1. Chad, this might be the only time I can ever say that about the football team, so just let me have my moment.
While, yeah. Oh, go ahead and have it. I'm just going to sit here and have my moment, chuckling
and laughing
about it.
Right. Yes.
Two moments in one.
KU's favored, so let that sink in as well in this game, which means they'll probably lose by 30. But Rutgers 1-1 at KU 1-1, 11 a.m. pregame at 10:30 tomorrow on Z96.3 Lake. Of course, KU snapping that long 46-game losing streak on the road. They snapped it with a win over Central Michigan last weekend, 31-7. David Beatty, head coach of Kansas, it's time to get back to work. That was last week. We got Rutgers this week.
I think the big thing for us is to be able to utilize that moving on as a cornerstone as we move forward in building the program. And we got to do a good job of putting it behind us and focusing on Rutgers regardless. You know, I thought we did a good job of not having a hangover last week going into that game, but it's time to go back to work. And, you know, I think that all that stuff is good to write and talk about, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to how we execute as we go into this week against a really talented team from up north. So we've got our hands full.
Rutgers was blown out by Ohio State 52-3. That's going to happen to a lot of teams against Ohio State, especially in the non-con, and they won their first game of the year. So Rutgers is 1-1. Now, Puka Williams, outstanding, talented freshman running back for Kansas, did not play in week one against Nicholls State. And had he played, I'm pretty confident Kansas would have won that game. And he's supposed to play this week. We still don't know exactly why he didn't play in week one. Perhaps it was an eligibility issue, but that's just speculating by many people. It was not an injury. It wasn't a discipline issue, we were told. But David Beatty won't go into too much detail about it. But Beatty was asked this week in the Big 12 teleconference about Puka Williams and his talent. And what a great name, Puka. Whereas Haney says the Puka Bazooka.
Well, obviously, when we watched him in recruiting at a very young age, committed to us very early, we knew he was a very talented guy. There's so many talented guys down there in that region, and he wasn't the biggest dude coming out of there. But, you know, he obviously made his mark on that area and really had some terrific years his junior and senior year. But We knew he was really good, but you know, you never really know how they're going to react when they get to, when they get to school. There's this love for the game that you have to be able to play at a young age, and that love allows you to have some maturity about you, and it allows you to be around the game more and go through some of the harder things, like being really at the field house a lot. And that's not normal for a lot of kids, but he's had that. And he's a gym rat. He's always around. He's always here. And he always has a legitimate smile on his face. It's not a forced smile. He loves being here, and he loves this game. And, you know, as you go through fall camp and you see the guy touch the ball, you know, 7 or 8 times in a day, and he's running to the end zone, you know, on 3/4 of those, and you're like, man, this guy's got something to him, we think. And it's not until you put him on the field that you realize how good he is. You know, I don't know. He's a freshman right now, and I hate to say too much about that right now, but I do know this. If he keeps doing what he's doing, I look for him to have a terrific career here, and I think he can only help us moving forward.
Puka Williams, he is a game breaker, and Kansas hasn't had a game breaker. As I talked with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, yesterday, as we have him on every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. And, you know, Kansas hasn't had a game breaker, really, when you think about it, since they had Reesing, Sharp, Briscoe, and others back in the Mangino era. And KU is favored against Rutgers this weekend, and it's a game that KU really has to win if they want to really improve this year. And speaking of Mark Mangino, interesting story from Tom Keegan, KUSports.com. It's now been 98 games since Mark Mangino was let go as coach of the Jayhawks. Why would we pick 98 games? Because Mark Mangino coached Kansas for 98 games. So Tom Keegan has a comparison of KU's 98 games under Mangino to the 98 since. Well, safe to say it's not
this
pretty.
This isn't going to be good.
No, it's not.
It's going to be pretty at all.
That's why Mark Mangino should have a statue. A big statue in front of the football complex. Mark Mangino's overall record at KU, modern day miracle, winning record 50-48. His successors 16-82, which is actually better than I thought. How sad is that? Big 12 record, Mangino 23-41. That's not great, but his successors Turner Gill, Charlie Weiss, Clint Bowen, interim coach David Beatty, 4-67. FBS record, Mangino 42-47. His successors 10-79. Bowl record, Mangino 3-1 in 4 bowl games. The successors never made a bowl game. Points for Mark Mangino's teams in those 98 games, 2,606. His successors, 1,794. Here's the one that really stands out. Points against, so basically how many you've given up. Mangino 21-30, successors 3,707.
Yikes. Ouch.
1,600 more points given up.
They've scored like 2,000 more points in the last however many years the opponent compared to KU.
That is correct, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. You wonder why they've had
I knew it was bad.
It's bad. It's really bad. Average score of games during Mangino's era, KU would win 29-27. His successors lose 38-18. Home attendance, 50,000 fans or plus. Mangino had 14 games of the 98 where 50,000 fans or more attended at homes, and successors, zero. Losses by 40 points or more. Mangino, 4. His successors, 21. Nice. Most wins in a season, Mangino, 12, when he won the Orange Bowl, of course, in 08. His successors, the most they've ever won in a season, 3.
Can we just stop now?
Last one. Last one. Record against Kansas State. Record against Kansas State. Mark Mangino, 500, 4-4. That's very respectable. Successors, 0-8.
Knew that was coming.
Todd Reesing is going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor at KU coming up tomorrow. He certainly deserves to be there. Mangino took 2 teams to bowl games before Reesing arrived. Reesing carried the offense to a record-breaking time at KU. 25-6 was Reesing's record in his first 31 starts. So an interesting comparison. 98 games under Mangino, the 98 games since. And it would be worse if KU didn't win last week. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
It hurt to listen to that, and I'm not even a KU fan.
I know.
So it's like, I can't even imagine.
Nobody deserves to go through that bad era of football. Okay, let's move on to K-State. Dusty's team, the Wildcats, 1-1, and Texas San Antonio comes into town. The Roadrunners are 0-2, but realize they lost to a ranked Arizona State team, 49-7. They lost to Baylor in Arlington, or actually in San Antonio last week, 37-20, and they were competitive. They were in that football game. Bill Snyder earlier this week was asked about what happened against Mississippi State.
We made, you know, ample mistakes, execution errors that, you know, and normally I don't like to refer to that. There's normally something that causes those, but, you know, the going back to the week before, you know, we're trying to clean up some of the discipline issues, and in all reality, we cleaned a number of them up, but many others presented themselves, and again, with a, you know, a superior football team. I say superior, I mean, you know, an improved football team from the previous week. Each snap that we had, virtually every snap, there is something there that prevented the play from being a reasonably successful play. You know, they aren't all going to be successful, but there were, you know, so many of them that hit the opportunity to become successful, and a mistake here or a mistake there in terms of execution prevented that from happening.
So lots of mistakes by K-State. They need to clean it up here week three of the non-con as they go into Big 12 play when they go to Morgantown to take on West Virginia in week four. Bill Snyder asked about his quarterback situation because, well, he's going to be asked that every single week probably.
Well, I think we're going to put a starter on the field every week, and that starter, you know, as long as, and I'm not trying to put undue pressure on them, but I mean, if they're performing well, then, you know, it's kind of like any other position. You know, they'll certainly stay on the field for, you know, the vast majority of the time. It's not a matter of saying, okay, we're going to play you a half and you a half. At least we're beyond that stage anyway right now. And, you know, and if they are having some struggles, having some difficulties, then, you know, very likely we would substitute and play the other one.
Okay, so that last comment that he makes there, it makes sense. If you got a guy that's struggling, you got another guy you think's good enough to help you, you go with him as a spark. The downside to that thinking is if the guy's always looking over his shoulder when he makes a mistake, he doesn't have the freedom to make mistakes or to make a throw here and there, and that can be detrimental for your football team. So it's kind of a catch-22 with that comment.
Oh, without question. I actually remembered, because every time I think about this situation, I think about the last time K-State had this situation, which was Jake Waters and Daniel Sams. And I actually remember the year they kind of were back and forth, who's the starter, and then Sams ended up transferring that next year and heading out. And so I actually asked Jake Waters in the postgame, I was like, how'd it feel to be out there to know you were the starter tonight and not have to look over your shoulders? Like, it was amazing. He's like, it was I could make a mistake and I didn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I could just move on and not even think about it and not worry that somebody else is going to come in and take my spot. And so, I mean, what he said there when I asked that question spoke volumes. And I feel like it's the same with these two guys.
Absolutely.
Skylar Thompson in the first game of the season said, I really didn't get a chance to get in any kind of rhythm out there tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obvious that's why. And that's why he's saying that. And he's trying not to, you know, obviously every K-State kid that's out there in a postgame interview is going to try to be politically correct and not say anything that's going to upset them so they don't play at all to upset the coaching staff. But you could tell there's frustration, you know, and some of these K-State players over the last 2 years. I mean, Alex Barnes last year, the Oklahoma game, didn't mince any words, said, I don't know why I didn't play. You know, it's basically after having a good start. And then, you know, you're just sitting there kind of like, it's a good problem to have at one point, because you do have somebody that you feel fairly comfortable in taking the spot over if the other one doesn't get the job done. But I just, that's why I don't think two quarterback systems ever work, is because you sit there and you're thinking, if I make just even the tiniest mistake here, I might be out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're pressing, you're doing more than you should, and then you end up making a mistake because you're doing more than you should. And I think that might be why Alex Delton's not throwing the ball very well right now, too. He's worried because everybody knows I'm not a passing quarterback.
Right.
Now I'm thinking too much in my head when I'm trying to pass, and then three passes in a row should have been intercepted, two were, and he's just not looking good throwing the ball. And so I think that's part of that, too, on his side. So it's just not a recipe for success, and especially once you get into Big 12 play.
I agree with you. You put a lot more pressure on yourself, and it's not just at quarterback. That's the position we look at. But the same thing can apply to running back, wide receiver, right tackle, left guard, defense, a linebacker. If you are in a tight competition with somebody, you know that you barely beat them out for the job, or you guys are both getting to play equal time, there's a lot more stress that you can't afford to make a mistake. Whereas if you know you're the guy, you relax a little bit. And you mentioned that Jake Waters mentioned that. You know, Troy Aikman last night, I think, made an interesting point. I was watching Thursday Night Football. Troy Aikman is a former quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback. And Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, but Lamar Jackson was drafted late in the first round. Ravens traded up to get him. And so he comes in certain packages, and then Flacco is split out as a wide receiver. And Troy Aikman said, I can tell you right now, and it was refreshing for Aikman to really say something that really brought something to the table. And he says, I can just tell you, Joe Flacco doesn't like this. He goes, I can guarantee you Joe Flacco does not like this. He's not a fan of this. When he's going along, you know, kind of in a rhythm, and next thing you know, they're bringing Lamar Jackson to run the option. And then Joe Flacco, you know, at his age, a seasoned veteran, wide out to the left side of the field, not a part of the play. He'd rather just not even be on the field.
Yeah.
And Troy Aikman said, I wouldn't have been cool with that when I was a quarterback if they did that to me. And I thought that was very interesting. And Joe Flacco knows Lamar Jackson is the heir apparent, and there's no question that Flacco is the quarterback, so it's a little bit different. He knows he's a starter, but still, you know, when you don't know when they're going to bring in Lamar to play the certain package,
yeah,
you got to wonder, you know, how's this going to affect me? And I don't know if that's good either when you sprinkle in a guy. I think you got to pick a guy. You know, one thing would give credit to David Beatty that, you know, probably the only thing you can say David Beatty's done a better job than Bill Snyder, let's be honest, is he decided before the season. He maybe he's learned, because last year he really didn't decide till the last minute, but this year he decided on his quarterback. He announced his starter a week in advance, and that you see Peyton Bender now? He's playing pretty good football. Now, I still don't like the Myles Kendrick throwing him in there, and that disrupts your rhythm, but at least Peyton Bender knows he's the starting quarterback, unless he does a lot of bad things, and he's playing much better, not turning the ball over, because I think he knows, hey, odds are I got to do a lot of bad things for me not to be the starter. Whereas, to me, it's very evident. Skylar Thompson should be your starting quarterback. Let's quit with the whole thing. Let's quit with this ruse. Alex Delton, nice backup quarterback. You can still bring him in the Wildcat package near the goal line or something if you want. Still not ideal, but that's a lot better than what they've been doing lately.
But college is a little different than the NFL from the standpoint that they have a lot of packages during a normal game that they'll bring in. You know, you see a Wildcat more often in college than you do in the NFL.
Right.
So they do things to mix it up. But I don't want – I would love it if Alex Delton was the Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
They use a Wildcat with Barnes because it's a mix of a running back there, which I don't understand that either, because K-State, since Daniel Thomas, has never really thrown out of the Wildcat.
Right.
Daniel Thomas was a quarterback in JUCO, so they had that option that he could throw, and he did.
Right.
Threw for touchdown pass against UCLA. I was right there in front of it. But now they don't do that. So why not just use –
Have your quarterback think about the fact
that he might throw the football here in the Wildcat situation.
Exactly.
But then, I mean, nobody thinks Alex Barnes is going to throw the ball.
No, of course not.
But, you know, that's just the way it is right now. They just run with the running back out of the Wildcat. I think most of us all are in agreement that Skylar Thompson should be the starter.
The sooner they make this decision, it'll help the rest of the team, just from the standpoint that they're tired of answering the questions as players.
Well, and you know,
it would make it so much better for your whole team. It'd be a sigh of relief collectively if they just came out tomorrow and Bill Snyder says Skylar Thompson, or after tomorrow's game, Skylar Thompson's our starter from here on out, unless something crazy happens. You leave the back door open or something crazy happens, but you don't sit here and go, well, you know, if he's not really performing out there, we won't be afraid to pull him real quick.
Yeah.
That's not a healthy situation.
I think one thing maybe we haven't talked about that we should is we're talking about how bad the offensive line's been compared to what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't know who they're blocking for at quarterback.
It's a little
different.
There
are going to be different skill sets of how you need to block when Skylar Thompson's in the game and Alex Delton. So maybe they're out of rhythm, too, based on what's going on with that. I'm not trying to make excuses because they have not been good.
No.
But think about that when you're kind of thinking about, you know, it's affecting everybody. There's no question about it. It affects the running back who's going to be in there.
Oh,
it affects everything. Which one of those guys is going to be in there? Because you can't, like, realistically think both of these guys have the same skill sets and you're going to run the same kind of plays every time.
No, I agree with you. Texas San Antonio at K-State, 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow from Bill Snyder Family Stadium there in Manhattan. Other Big 12 games, there is a Big 12 opener, Oklahoma at Iowa State. We mentioned Rutgers at KU, 11:10:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake tomorrow. Boise State ranked 17th at number 19, Oklahoma State and Stillwater. Dukes at Baylor. West Virginia, NC State, that game has been, according to Big12Sports.com, canceled, which tells me it won't be made up. If you say postponed, then there's a chance to be made up. Houston at Texas Tech. And Southern Cal, USC, number 22 at Texas. Ohio State, number 4, is in Arlington, Texas, to take on TCU, ranked number 15. That's a primetime game at 7 o'clock on ABC tomorrow night. Akron, the Zips at Iowa State. K-State then will open up Big 12 play coming up next weekend at West Virginia. And KU open up Big 12 play next weekend at Baylor. Top 25 college football, Clemson. They move the game up. They'll play Georgia Southern. Clemson ranked number 2. Georgia number 3 against Middle Tennessee. We mentioned Oklahoma number 5 against Iowa State. Penn State will host Kent State. Penn State's ranked 11th. Central Florida ranked 18th. That's been canceled against North Carolina due to Hurricane Florence. Number 21, Miami, will take on Toledo. Number 13, Virginia Tech will host East Carolina. Number 9, Stanford will host UC Davis. Notre Dame, ranked 8th, will host Vanderbilt. Wisconsin, number 6, will be at home to BYU. And the big game tomorrow, number 12, LSU at number 7, Auburn. That's at 2:30 on CBS. West Virginia, we mentioned their game canceled against North Carolina State. Michigan will be 19th. They're hosting SMU. Oregon, number 20, hosting San Jose State. Alabama, number 1, at Ole Miss. A few years ago, they lost at Ole Miss. That would be great to see that again. Mississippi State, ranked 16th. We beat K-State last week, hosting Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. And we mentioned Ohio State, number 4, against TCU, number 15. And number 10, Washington, is at Utah. And Herm Edwards, the head coach of Arizona State, 23rd, Devils against San Diego State on the road in San Diego. That's a look at your top 25. Okay. Scott Frost in Nebraska will be hosting Troy coming up tomorrow. And Scott Frost was asked about his quarterback situation, not because he didn't determine who a starter is, but because Adrian Martinez, a true freshman, youngest quarterback to ever start a game at Nebraska, was hurt late in the game against Colorado. Here's Frost on Martinez status and when they might make their decision on when Martinez can or will or won't play tomorrow against Troy.
It might be 2 minutes before kickoff. He's going to be out there warming up. He's looked really good, getting better. I don't know if it'll be this week. I don't know if it'll be next week. He might look great tomorrow and be ready to go. He might not look great a week from Friday. I feel really good about where he is right now, considering how bad the play looked. But it's just day to day.
Nebraska will host Troy. Troy's 1-1, 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Troy lost number 17, Boise State, 56-20. Beat Florida A&M, 59-7. Nebraska, just a 1 game. Lost to Colorado last week, 33-28, despite putting up 565 yards of offense, 329 on the ground, and their defense sacked Colorado quarterback Montez 7 times. They still lost that game. So if Martinez can't go, it would be walk-on Andrew Bunch. Right away, you're sitting there going, well, if Gebbia would have hung around, might have had an opportunity. But nope, he quickly changed his mind and transferred out of town. So Andrew Bunch, what about him, Coach Frost?
He's looked great. He looked really good when he came in. That was a tough situation he came into the other day, and he operated well. He got us down through a pass that probably should have won us the game and then got us down in striking distance to win the game again a second time. So if it's him, we're going to run our offense. And when he's had his opportunities, looked really good.
Nebraska looking for their first win in the Scott Frost era. Now, we talked about this the other day. We had a lot of fun with it. I said one good thing to come out of Hurricane Florence is now Nebraska could play Central Florida, Scott Frost's former team. So Scott Frost was asked the other day about adding a game because they are short a game since their game with Akron has been canceled. And he's also asked, what if that game were against Central Florida? This is very interesting.
I don't want to schedule a game for December because I think we're going to have a chance to be in the championship game. And scheduling a game in December, I don't want our kids thinking we're not going to be in the championship. We need to be in the championship game. So that leaves us October. It's not ideal to play 12 straight weeks. They don't really do that in the NFL. But if that's the hand we're dealt, so be it. These kids have practiced hard enough and worked hard enough. They deserve to have a full slate of games in 12 games. So administration's dealing with that. And we'll play whoever they get us to play. I know UCF doesn't have a true bye week. It's a short week the next week. The hardest part for me is if anybody on either team got hurt or anything bad happened to any kid on either team, I'd be brokenhearted. I still love those kids down there that are playing at UCF so much, rooting for them. It'd be a great game. I think it'd be an evenly matched game of two really good teams. But personally, I'd cringe a little when our defensive end hit their quarterback. And that's not how you want to go into a game.
So you're saying there's a chance? Or no?
He didn't exactly know how to game plan.
Yeah, he would be prepared for him. He didn't rule it out. You know, yeah. you could easily just said that's not going to happen. You know, I really don't feel comfortable with that. I mean, he says that it'd be a little bit uncomfortable, but he's like, we'll play whoever we play. He at least, you know, he's up front. You know, he could be coach speak, of course. He could have already told the administration there's no way I need a love playing South Florida. But yeah, I think Scott Frost is a fairly honest guy. So I don't think he's a guy that backs away from anyone.
No.
I mean, he said some strong words to the rest of the Big Ten when he was hired as an introductory press conference. And that rubbed a few people a little bit the wrong way in the Big Ten. So I would love to see it. I don't think it's going to happen. But he didn't exactly completely rule it out. I mean, he made it well known that he would be a little uncomfortable, but he didn't say, well, that's just not probably going to be in the cards. He didn't completely rule it out.
Yeah, it is refreshing to hear that.
We'll play who we have to play.
Be like, yeah, nope, not going to happen.
Right.
Move on. Next question.
Yeah, which is how some coaches would have handled that. So that'd be interesting. Huskers and Troy tomorrow at 11 a.m. MIAA games to tell you about coming up this weekend. Missouri Western at Central Missouri State. Missouri Southern at Northwest Missouri State. Washburn is at Fort Hays State. Pitt State, now ranked 23rd in the country, at Northeastern State. Emporia State will be at University of Nebraska at Kearney. And Central Oklahoma at Lindenwood University. That's MIAA football schedule. Of course, the Chiefs getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chiefs offense looked really good against the Los Angeles Chargers. Defense, okay, good enough, but not great by any stretch of the imagination. And now they get the Steelers. And the Chiefs do not play well against the Steelers. But there is hope. Ben Roethlisberger has missed practice all week long, although I anticipate he'll be at practice today. Mike Tomlin has never played a player, or at least not a quarterback, that's missed practice on a Friday. Odds are Roethlisberger will practice today, and odds are he'll quarterback on Sunday. But if he can't go, they're going to have Josh Dobbs, a rookie. Technically not a rookie. He's a fourth-round draft pick last year. They also got third-round draft pick Mason Rudolph, who's probably not ready. They say Joshua Dobbs will be ready. The Chiefs are going to prepare for Roethlisberger, I can guarantee you that. Le'Veon Bell will not play. He is not reported yet to the Steelers. He's not even listed on the depth chart anymore. That means James Conner had 31 carries, 135 yards last week. He's not really a burner like Bell, but he is a good running back. And we know the Chiefs have problems with the run game. We know Chiefs have problems defending receivers, no matter who they are. And then you add in the fact it's Antonio Brown and Juju Schuster. That could be difficult. Andy Reid talks about facing James Conner instead of Le'Veon Bell.
Well, that other run's pretty good. So, you know, he had that same situation that Eric Berry had, and he's come back from it strong. Local kid, you know, and from there. And so he's done a nice job for himself, made a nice niche. So I don't think they're caught up in all of that, you know, from the sounds of it. And he's playing well.
The Chiefs don't do well in Pittsburgh. They haven't won there since the 80s. The Steelers have beat the Chiefs twice in 2016, including the playoffs. Again last year, Pittsburgh 4-1 against Andy Reid since he arrived in Kansas City. Since Tomlin's been hired, the Steelers are 6-2 against the Chiefs. They are 3-0 at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. The only loss in regards against Andy Reid was when Roethlisberger didn't play. It was Landry Jones, and that still wasn't a blowout.
Yeah.
You know, I really, before the season started, I really thought the Chiefs would win in Pittsburgh for some reason. But after I see what the defense has, I really want to pick the Chiefs to win this. And I'd be in the minority if I picked them. But I just don't see, if the Chiefs can't handle the running game and they're not good in the secondary and they gave up a lot of big plays last week, it's just that the Chargers dropped the football. The only way the Chiefs win this game, I think now, are two ways. Roethlisberger doesn't play or gets hurt right away and leaves the game, or the Chiefs score like 40 or more points. That's the only scenarios I see they win this game. Now watch, it'll be 20-17. We'll be completely surprised. But I don't care who the running back is for Pittsburgh. I don't think it's going to matter. I know Bell is shiftier. He's tougher to find. Chiefs will probably do better against Connor, but Connor's still going to get his yards more than likely. Pittsburgh's always more physical than the Chiefs. And it'll be interesting to see if their defense can rattle Mahomes and give him a lot of different looks, because the Chiefs' offense has not done very well against the Steelers under Mike Tomlin. They have a way to bottle up Tyreek Hill. Hill has not done well against the Steelers in his career so far. That means maybe Travis Kelce could have a big game. And Pittsburgh just tied the Browns, and they always seem to play bad the week before they play the Chiefs. I really, 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 really want to pick the Chiefs to win. Mahomes, to me, is the X factor to where it might be different this time. They don't have a lot of tape on Mahomes, so that might give them a better chance. If it was Alex Smith, I'd say the Chiefs have no chance of winning this game, unless, of course, injuries to Pittsburgh. But if Roethlisberger plays, unless Mahomes goes nuts, which he's capable of doing, I think, I just don't see the Chiefs winning this football game on the road at Pittsburgh.
No, I don't disagree with any of that. I think I'm on the side. Honestly, the only way the Chiefs win is if Roethlisberger's not starting.
Could be.
Like, that's it for me. Like, I can't be optimistic at all with what I saw last week, because Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster are not going to drop the ball when they have it deep. They're going to catch that thing, and they're going to score. Wherever they catch it on a deep ball, if they've beat the Chiefs or D-backs, they're gone. Like, nobody's catching them. It's over. So unless they miraculously got so much better between week one and two, and you talk about Bell, and I don't think the Bell-Connor thing even matters, because
Bell has lit up the Chiefs.
He has, but what I'm saying is Roethlisberger and those guys are going to know how bad the Chiefs' secondary is.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to attack that. You know, if they can't run the ball, who cares?
Right.
I mean, that'd be my mindset going into it. I understand the Chiefs' secondary is terrible.
Right.
So if I have issues at all with Connor running the football, we can beat them in the passing game. It's not that hard.
Point this out, though. The last two games the Chiefs have played the Steelers, the Chiefs' defense has actually been right there.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the Steelers, well, I don't remember the final score last year, but Steelers didn't score many points. The Chiefs had a chance. 19-13, that's what it was.
Yeah,
and then the year before,
was 18-12,
it was 18-16.
The
Chiefs gave up six field goals. And Le'Veon Bell played, I believe, in that game. I know Roethlisberger did. Well, yeah, Bell did, because he lit him up. So with Bell and Roethlisberger, the only thing is those games were both in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But they held the Steelers to under 20 points both times, and their defense wasn't very good either one of those years. They don't have Marcus Peters anymore.
Yeah, and their defense gave up all the yards, but they held them
the field goals. Right. But in Pittsburgh, last time with the Pittsburgh, they ran out of the gym in the first quarter.
Yeah.
That game was over. That was, I think, Sunday night football.
Yeah,
and they got rolled. That thing was really bad. So they laid a big fat egg. So this game, I think, will be competitive. I think it'll be tight. I just don't think the Chiefs' defense is going to be able to do enough against Pittsburgh. But could be wrong, because Le'Veon Bell is a very – he's a tough guy to tackle.
Oh, yeah.
And he's shiftier than Connor, so that might help the Chiefs a little bit. But I can't come up with the equation they're going to win it unless Mahomes goes nuts or, as you said, somebody, Roethlisberger doesn't play.
Yeah.
I just can't see it.
No, and you know, like, the Chiefs have what it takes offensively to stay in the game, so I agree that it's going to be a close game.
And the Steelers gave up 45 to Jacksonville in the playoffs. So let's not sit here and act like the Steelers' defense is the greatest thing like it used to be.
It's not even close to what it used to be. So, I mean, yeah, if the Chiefs keep the foot on the gas and execute the way they can, then, yeah, it should be close. But it shouldn't be 20-17. I'm going to tell you that right now. But it could be.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the Chiefs are going to do better because James Harrison's finally dead. Not dead. He's retired. Of course, CNN said he was dead. He's retired. Remember, he Eric Fisher can't defend that guy.
Yeah.
In the playoff game a couple years ago, and then last year when Harrison, that was the most plays and snaps he had in any game last year for Pittsburgh before he was let go and he went to the Patriots, he was just kind of washed up, and Fisher still couldn't handle him. So that's one good thing.
Yeah.
Unless Harrison's coming out of retirement and signed by the Steelers
just
today
one
to play
game
on Sunday.
He'd probably still light, 10-day contract. Come in
he'd probably
play
still
the
light up Eric Fisher if he did. Okay, so we both think the Chiefs really don't have much of a chance of winning this game, but that's why they play the game. Last night, Thursday night football, the Bengals beat the Ravens 34-23. The Bengals, wow, they look good, especially in the first half, marching right down the field. Andy Dalton, 4 touchdown passes first half. A.J. Green with 3 touchdown receptions first half. Bengals are 2-0. The Ravens 1-1. Rest of the NFL, the Panthers are at the Falcons. The Colts at the Redskins. Redskins, I'm telling you, that's my sleeper in the NFC. Alex Smith looked great last week. Their defense is solid. The Texans are at the Titans this week, the Eagles at the Buccaneers, the Chiefs at the Steelers at noon, pregame 11 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Chiefs in north central Kansas, Dolphins at the Jets, Chargers at the Bills, the Vikings at the Packers, what a game that'll be if Aaron Rodgers plays, the Browns will be at the Saints, the Niners will host the Lions, the Cardinals are at the Rams, another marquee game, the Patriots at the Jaguars, Leonard Fournette probably won't play, Julian Edelman suspended, so each team down a key offensive player in that one, Patriots at the Jaguars. And the AFC title game last year, Jaguars, through 3 quarters, had that thing won at Foxborough. This year, the game's in Jacksonville. Raiders at the Broncos, and the Giants at the Cowboys, And the Seahawks will avoid trying to go 0-2. They're at the Bears coming up on Monday night. Another reason why you should pick the Steelers to win, the last 30 times an NFL team has won their first game on the road of the season and had to play the second game on the road as well. They won their first and played their second, both on the road to start the year. In those 30 games, do you know what that team's record is?
I don't even. I'm going to say 5-25.
Very close. 6-24.
Really?
Yes. So the Seahawks, that doesn't apply to them, that stat, because they lost their first game.
Yeah.
But they have two road games to start the year. But the Chiefs won on the road, starting year with back-to-back road wins in the NFL. Very, very, very rare. Mm-hmm. So that's against the Chiefs as well. All right, Broncos and the Raiders. Broncos win by how many? Because I know you're picking the Broncos to win this game.
10.
10. Broncos will start 2-0, and they will be atop the AFC West by themselves after 2 weeks.
Get used to it.
If the Steel,
get used to it.
For 7 days.
Hey, yes. Man. Well, the Bengals are on their way to a division title, and
and
the Broncos. Yes. You know.
You know. I believe what were the Chiefs' record last year? 5-0. They were on their way to an easy division title, and then they lost 6-7.
Yeah, these things happen.
And then they won their last four to find out somehow win it. Well, wasn't the Broncos on their way to the playoffs and division title when they were 6-0 under Josh McDaniels?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm sorry to burst
your bubble. How did that work out? Not so good for the home team.
No,
Kyle
not at all.
Orton was the savior, man.
Finished 8-8 that year and didn't make the playoffs.
Kyle Orton was never the savior.
Tim Tebow could have been if you just kept using him instead of getting that washed up Peyton Manning. Let's be honest. He had one really good year. The year
Peyton
they won the Super Bowl wasn't very
washed
good.
Up until the year they won the Super
exactly.
Bowl.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You're absolutely right. All right. So NHL, the NFL football this weekend. No, and we wrap it up with the Royals. The Royals get a win last night as they were able to go deep with the long ball. Chicks digged the long ball.
And he just gave up his 7th home run in 23 innings. And that was a rocket.
Royals win 6-4. Heath Vilmeyer continues to pitch well. I'll tell you what, that Royals rotation, Keller's been really good the whole year. Junis has been pretty solid, had a down period there. Kennedy was good in his last start. Jorge Lopez almost had a perfect game. Heath Vilmeyer's pitched well. And they haven't even brought up Duffy, who said he's going to work extremely hard in the offseason to strengthen his rotator cuff and his shoulder. He said he didn't work as much on stuff they normally would because he was dealing with that DUI and some legal stuff and this and that and a little distracting the offseason. He says he's determined to come back and get his fastball back to the mid-90s because this year is around low 90s. I don't know if he can do that or not, but it doesn't sound like he's going to need any kind of offseason surgery, although it is worrisome when you have your left shoulder impingement a couple of times, which is Sean Manaea. Went through that, and now he's going to have surgery on his shoulder and be out for a full calendar year and miss most of next year, if not all of it. So there are some things to build upon. Mondesi looks really good. Dozier's hitting the ball now. O'Hearn with 10 homers. Phillips, if he's got to improve the bat. Gordon's played better this year than last year. He'll play next year because the final year of his contract. Bonifacio, of course, was suspended the first 80 games. He's starting to come around. And then we forget about Soler. He was hitting the ball pretty well until he got hurt. He's just injury prone. I think the bigger question for me for the Royals next year is I'm okay with the way it's going. I don't know if they're going to pick up anybody in the offseason to take one of those spots from one of the younger guys. I say they don't need to, but the bullpen still concerns me. But they do have, how many times have we said the last couple of years the Royals have 5 legitimate starting pitchers, maybe, and they got nobody if anybody gets hurt. Now you're sitting here going, Dayton Moore has kind of stocked the farm system a little bit with some of these trades. And we haven't even seen Jesse Hahn, who's been on the DL all year long. Nate Karns has been on the DL all year long. If those guys come back healthy, you've got 8, 9, 10, decent candidates to crack this starting rotation next spring and surprise. And it's better to have a lot of options than only 4 or 5. And that's definitely an improvement and a step in the right direction for the Royals organization.
Well, and I think some of those guys, if they don't work out as starters, would be good for your bullpen too,
yes,
like
right.
Nate Karns and people like that. I think they could definitely help out your bullpen. That's kind of... obviously not as good. I like what you're seeing from Peralta right now. But other than that, I can't say anybody in the bullpen is somebody that I really want them back next year.
Yeah. I agree.
Peralta's about the only one.
You don't want Hamill back.
Yeah.
Hamill will be done. He's done with his contract.
Yeah.
Royals are going to free up a little bit of salary space. Speaking of salary space, the Chiefs next year are going to lose a lot of dead money. They could be very active in free agency next year. It's something to keep an eye on with the Chiefs. And speaking of the Chiefs, Eric Berry has not practiced yet,
nope.
So he will not play this weekend, safe to say. And you're starting to wonder if he's going to be out for 4, 5, 6 weeks, if not longer. It's just, it's worrisome.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it. And now some people are saying he's even going to play this year. The Chiefs are waiting on him to tell them that he's ready to go. Your guess is as good as mine. You want to be cautious. I mean, why are we really cautious? He just didn't play this year. I don't think that's exactly what the Chiefs want to do.
Kawhi Leonard on our hands. We're gonna not even play.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you've really got to worry about Eric Berry and whether or not he is going to play. And if he does, how effective he will be. They could certainly use him against the Steelers, no question about it, but he won't be available.
No.
Jorge Lopez on the hill for the Royals tonight. His last start was pretty good. We mentioned 8 innings of perfect ball. Royals hosting the Twins tonight. Royals now 50-96. On the year, they now have to go 7-9. 7-9 to avoid their worst season in franchise history. This, their golden 50th year of baseball. What a great way to celebrate with one of your worst seasons in history. But there is reason to be optimistic with some of these younger players.